Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. It has been ages. The last episode I released was last year. Yes, I know I dropped the nuggets, I think, on January, close to the end of January. Anyway, I'm not back yet. But I have another very important nugget to share with you today. And I feel this is very important for certain listeners because I know that someone somewhere is very worried about the situation of the country, the entire world, this economic recession that the entire, you know, the global economy situation that we're facing currently. And it can be hard sometimes to actually figure out how you want to proceed in your career, because you're just at the point where you want to make money, you want to then, you know, contribute more to your knowledge and experience and grow your skill, right? And you also want to remain valuable to the organizations you are in. And it's just hard to, you know, properly place these items in a way such that you always know what to do at every point in time. You know, I used to joke with some of my software engineering friends, and we're always like, every software engineer is looking for a job at every point in time. Like, ask every software engineer, whether they are fully employed somewhere or not, we are always job hunting, right? So it's a very serious situation, especially right now. And for people who are just beginning to build careers, it's even harder because you have no idea, completely no idea what to do at every stage in your career. For some people, they spend like 3 to 4 or 5 months building the skill. And then the next thing is they're looking for some mid-level role, hoping to earn six-figure salary with just 5 months of bootcamp, right? And some people, 3 years, 5 years, 4 years, in fact, they continue to build this skill, and they don't feel like they are ready enough to shoot their shots and really apply for jobs because they are, you know, quite unsure of themselves. It's a very big problem in, you know, in the career ecosystem today. And I was discussing with some upcoming software engineer, and this lady told me the exact same thing. So that she's in a point where even after she has done some sort of internships, she has also struggled with knowing what to do next in her career. I listened to her and I told her about 3 optimization strategies that she can do or she can use in her career to really map out what she should be doing at every point in her career. After that session, I thought this is such a profound solution, and it's something that I should share with my audience, and that's why we're here today. So we're here to talk about career optimizations. There are 3 optimization levels in your career, and this can be applied for any career at all. In fact, to even entertainment, right? There are 3 optimization levels. The first optimization is for experience. The second optimization is for pay. And the third optimization is value. So what does this mean? Let's just think about what this means, and I'm going to use myself as an example first to show you what this really means when it comes to your career optimization or career progression, right? When I started out as a you know, beginner software engineer, I spent about 2 years. I remember I started around 2018 and I continued to build my skill until 2020 that I actually got my first job, right? I could only do this because I had the opportunity to really do a lot of menial jobs. I've mentioned on this podcast time and again that I used to be a content copywriter before I transitioned into software engineering. So I always you know, wrote for companies, for blogs, you know. So I had this huge experience to be able to, or I had the opportunity to work and start making money such that it wasn't a lot of money, but I mean, I was earning enough to keep my hands dirty, learning and building the skill to become very, very good in software engineering, such that going to get my first job was a walk in the park. Plus, I was going to get my job in the moment where tech jobs were, you know, easier to get, you know, relatively, honestly. Tech jobs were easier to get. More companies were hiring. The openings were very massive. And I could easily land a full-time job. I never did any internship. I never did any boot camp. I went from self-taught, built tons of projects, and landed a role, a befitting role where I was able to deliver, right? And I noticed that at a point in my life, this company that hired me, after about 9 months working with them, being able to complete and finish building a product, launching it, launching that product, and eventually this company packed up and I was jobless. I was jobless for the next 3 months. Yes, that's how long I was jobless. And I realized that the reason why I did not have a job for 3 months was because I failed to properly upskill where necessary. The entire world of tech was moving so fast within those 9 months, but I was focusing completely on delivering value for this company that I was in, such that I was not ready to save myself when I was going to be out of job. I was very scared in that moment that I told myself I was never going to be in this kind of situation again. So in the moment where I was jobless, I started to learn new things. And that was when I really dived into front-end development. I started getting familiar with React.js. I was doing a lot of front-end stuff because what I did in this previous company was back-end. So I started learning a lot of front-end stuff. And then the next role I was going to get was a front-end engineering role. And I joined that company. In fact, I built my career in that company to the point where I could do a lot of back-end stuff on the side. And I was promoted to being a full-stack engineer and then eventually promoted to being the lead front-end engineer in that organization. When it was time to leave this particular organization where I was a front-end engineer, I knew that I wanted to be back into back-end. I wanted to be a back-end engineer again. I wanted to work in the back-end again. But because I told myself that I was never going to let the first company situation to happen to me again, when I was on the job as a front-end engineer, I actively studied to also become good in back-end engineering. So I was able to grab that skill and then apply conveniently for back-end engineering roles and still kill it. So I really was able to expand my knowledge, and I became even more valuable because I now had tons of years of experience. Not tons. Oh my goodness, that's huge exaggeration. Because it was just almost 2 years. Why did I say tons of years of experience? Anyways, what I meant was I had a ton of experience in front-end engineering, actually, because we built quite interesting things in that company. So I had quite some experience in front-end engineering. Then I was able to bring that with so many back-end engineering concepts that I also learned while I was there. I was able to bring that together to my new company to really establish myself as one of the smartest engineers that they had and they still have today. Why am I saying all of this? I wanted to recognize one thing that I solved in the companies, or one thing that I was in the company, in these companies. In all of these companies I've mentioned, I've mentioned the times where I intentionally brought myself or delivered value to all of these organizations. And at the same time, I was positioning myself so that I had enough experience to get me into the door of the next company that I'm going to work at. And those are optimizations in your career. So just from my story, I will show you how I optimize for experience, then optimize for pay, and then optimize for value. Now, this order that I have mentioned, these optimizations, is more like a cyclic order in your career progress. You initially start to optimize for experience, then you optimize for a pay, then you optimize for value to the pay, then you go back to optimizing for higher experience so you can get a higher pay, and then you start delivering better value for the organization that is paying you high. What does this mean? In my story, you see how I was able to rely on whatever small copywriting job I was doing. I was able to rely on that so that I could gain enough experience to get me into the door of where I wanted to work. That was me optimizing for experience. I knew then, there and then, that I was not optimizing for pay as a software engineer. I was not looking for anybody to pay me to be a software engineer. I knew I wanted to be a software engineer. I continued trying to gain the experience to be a software engineer, and I left it at that. And when I knew that I was ready, I was good enough, I recognized that my skill is now at par. I can now build great software. Then and only then did I start to optimize for a pay. Meaning now, who can pay me for this experience that I've gathered? Then after you optimize for pay, the next thing you want to do is you don't just go back shooting for experience, because you want to make sure that whoever is paying you wants to continue paying you. So as much as, you know, some people would mistake optimizing for experience to think that as you're optimizing for experience, your company will continue to see you as valuable. If you are improving on your skill, your company will probably see you as valuable. But the reality is that may not be the case. Let me give you an example of that not being the case. When I was working as a front-end engineer, my way to optimize for experience, well, what I was doing to build my experience was actually learning back-end engineering or becoming better at back-end engineering, because I knew that the next opportunity I wanted to get was to work on the back-end. So I did not do back-end stuff, right? So I went to learn back-end stuff rather. So that does not translate as value directly to the company I was at. While I did a couple of back-end stuff for them, it did not translate into value because they needed me to be extremely good in front-end engineering, because that's what I was hired for. So the way I showed them value or optimized for value in that particular company was that I became very good in front-end engineering. And alongside, I was studying and learning to be the back-end engineer of the next company I was going to be at, not in their own company. Yes, they could benefit from that as well, but that was not the value they were going to get from me. So this means that after you optimize for pay and you finally land that job that is paying you for the experience you've gathered, you then need to make sure that you are giving this company enough value to continue paying you. Because it is only when this company continues paying you that you will have the ability to build some level of comfort so you can really start to gather new experiences, aka new knowledge, aka upskilling, aka reading books, studying about a new tool, getting courses and finishing your courses. You can't buy courses if you're not being paid by a particular company. And to make sure that this company continues to keep you, they're not going to keep you because you're good. They're not going to keep you because you're learning to be better. They're not going to keep you just because you are learning some new tool. If they're not going to be using that tool, it is not valuable to them. So the way you continue to maintain your income, the way you continue to maintain what you're getting from this company, is to optimize for value towards the company that is paying you. As soon as you reach a comfortable threshold that you know that this particular company, you have built enough value that you are sure that you have become indispensable to them, then you start to aggressively push for experience. The whole idea is to always make sure that at some point in your career, you are only requesting to be paid for a previously gained experience. You don't request to be paid for an experience you want to gain on the job. No, there's no time to really start gaining new experiences on the job. On the job, the first thing you want to do is to make sure that you are valuable enough to them, that you are indispensable to them. And then you focus on, then and only then, when you reach a point where you're indispensable to the team, is when you start optimizing for new experiences. Now, don't get me twisted. The fact that you have to wait till you become indispensable to a team before you start optimizing for new experiences does not mean you don't learn more. Does not mean you don't try to upskill. Does not mean you don't try to be better at your craft. The reality is this: as long as you are doing your craft, you are using your tool in that company, you are actually getting better at it. Trying to build something, especially for software engineering, trying to build a product, trying to build software in that company you're working at, you know, just your regular day-to-day job will take you to new things you have to learn. I always joke about it that software engineering is one of the jobs in the world where you're actually paid to learn, because you never really know what you're going to build until you start building it. So this means that naturally, as a software engineer, especially, you are already paid to learn. So you really don't have to stress about whether you're going to become better or not. You will become better. You will become better in that tool just because you use it every day. But the important thing for you to do is to know when to start optimizing for experience, for more experience, for greater experience, for higher knowledge, which is as soon as you have reached a point where you are now indispensable to the team. And I know this firsthand because, to continue my career story, as I got into the new team where I'm a backend engineer right now, I actually experienced a moment in the team, which was really just early last year, where I thought, I've been doing the same thing in this company over and over and over again. I've become very good in this tool. I've become indispensable to them. I started feeling stuck. And I initially blamed it on the company because I thought it was the company that was not making me do new things or do hard things. Meanwhile, that is not the job of the company. If the company does not require me to do those hard things, and they don't think those hard things are valuable to them, then it's not their problem. So I realized that I am now giving this company enough value for them to consider me indispensable, and they will continue to pay me, which is my optimization for pay is working fine. I have optimized for value. It's just that this company continues to pay me. Then this is time for me to then go and find my own new experiences. For the software engineers who follow me on Twitter, online, social media, that is when I became very, very, you know, big about Golang. That's when I started learning the new programming language Golang, because it was time for me to take my own career into my hands and actually optimize for better experiences. So, and immediately I started optimizing for better experiences, I can assure you that I've gotten new opportunities to then optimize for new pay that's definitely going to be greater than whatever I was getting or I am getting right now. Maybe when I really plan and record an episode, I'll talk more. It might be more about how I was able to, expand probably the income, my income level, and based on the experiences I've gathered. Because it's the reality for me. Every single time I go into a new opportunity, it is 100% based on an experience that I've gathered in the past. So every optimization for pay for me has always been a result of an intentional optimization of experience in the past, right? And the third thing that I've added is then optimizing for value, because you need to be able to provide value for whatever company is paying you. So that's what we have, guys. Optimizations for your career. You optimize for experience. As soon as you gather enough experience, you optimize for pay. And as soon as you gather, you recognize that this company is paying you well, you optimize for value to make sure this company continues to pay you. And as soon as you become indispensable to the team, you start optimizing for better experience again. And as soon as you get new, fresh, you know, bigger experiences, you can then either negotiate a new pay in that organization, or you look for another company who can pay you better. And once you get the bigger pay, you need to make sure you're providing better value so that that pay continues to remain consistent. And then you can shoot for optimizing experiences again. So those are the three consistent cycles in your careers that you always get to. If you continue to follow this pattern, you will never be confused about what to do at every stage in your career, because you are aware that right now I'm optimizing for experience. You are aware that right now I'm optimizing for pay. You are aware that right now I'm optimizing for value to who's paying me for this job. And as soon as I know that I'm delivering enough value for them, I will start optimizing for more experience again. Those are your career optimizations. See you in the next one.